Well, here at TLC, we are family. This testament of love, and something, we have a little plaque in our house that talks about family. And it goes F-A-M-I-L-Y, family. And the F is forever. Family is forever. You know, I will always be the son of Bob Totten. That will never change. He's in heaven. He's been there since 1995. In fact, it was April 27th of 1995. My mom went, I will always be her son. Nothing's ever going to change that. When you were born again, you were born into a family. You weren't born into some religious order with rules and regulations that you had to fulfill on a regular basis. We were born into a family with a father. Family is forever. And don't let the devil talk you out of that. F-A. A is for always in our hearts. Our families are always in our hearts. Always in our hearts. Say that. My family is always in my heart. I am always in their hearts. The M is for memories. Memories that last a lifetime. That's what we create with each other in family. Families are forever. They are always in our heart, and they leave memories that last a lifetime. The I is for inspiration. Inspiration in the dreams that we give each other and we receive from each other. As family, we are inspired by each other. I think that's wonderful. And you may not feel too inspiring sometimes. But then you can be inspired by your family. Let go of the whatever you're holding on to and just be inspired and just be willing to inspire. You know, it's like there's an old saying about a lady came up to the pastor after church service, says, I'm leaving this church. He said, well, why are you leaving? He says, there's no love here. He said, well, do you have love? Yes, I do. He said, well, why are you leaving for? You got everything the church needs. See, we don't realize what we do carry on the inside and what people need. We're always looking to receive. You got to be a giver if you're going to be a receiver of anything. You've got to learn how to give. Give what you got. It might be not a tangible thing. It might be a smile. It might be a word of encouragement. And I'm not talking about those pithy little statements, you know, those coin phrases. I'm talking about real encouragement and just be sincere. Say, you know, I can promise you this. You've got a God who really, really does love you. So inspire. Inspire. Families are for inspiration. That's the I. The L is for love and laughter. And being loud together. there's a lot of L words. But if it begins with love, it'll always return to you in a big way. And then the Y is for years and years of joy that we have together that we can't get anywhere else. That was our family. We were born into that family. And if you translate this into our spiritual family, you should have the same thing there too. Not the same way, but of a much better way than we have. We all have that foundation of family, but we're talking about the church is an eternal family that keeps on graduating to heaven and new ones enter in. Old ones depart and new ones are born into the family. And we need to be ready because I'll tell you what, we're sitting on top of a huge revival in this nation, in this community, and in the world, to worldwide. The third Great Awakening is always here. So family. Families are forever. They're always in our hearts. They leave memories that last a lifetime. They inspire, and we can inspire and receive inspiring from our family. We can receive love, give love, and laughter. I don't know, in every family there seems to be a jokester. Somebody who makes you laugh. Just thinking about it, on the way home from Christmas, you start laughing. And then the why, for the years of love and enjoyment that we have as a family. Praise God. Well, we are in our series here, The Law of Giving and Receiving. John 3:16. For God, now they're laughing. You care to share? They're laughing. You know, you get self-conscious when you see people laughing. What you guys laughing at? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not what?
Perish.
But what? Have everlasting life. The point is, when do you receive everlasting life? Well, according to this. When do you receive the gift of Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give them eternal life. You know, any religion can give you lessons. Only Jesus can give you eternal life. He has it to give. The others just have philosophy or fortune cookie wisdom and things like that. But the thing is, Jesus gives eternal life. For God so loved you. I like this because the world was a very dark place. Most of the world was void of the Word of God. They didn't have any moral compass or anything until the light of the world came into this world, and that light was Jesus. Man, he turned this world upside down. Multitudes followed him. They stood silent. All the religious leaders who hated him, just he spoke and they were silenced. I mean, I've heard people speak in great speeches and things before, but nobody ever spoke like him. They said, how does he have, having no letters? In other words, he didn't go to our seminary. He didn't go to our schooling. Where does he get this wisdom? And when he spoke, they didn't know what to say. They were silenced. How many times did he silence the Sadducees, the Pharisees? Think of the miracles that he did. The biggest miracle was being born into this world. When Gabriel came to Mary and said, you're going to bring forth the Son of God. And she said, be it unto me, even as you have said. Boom. That's right there. She conceived the Son of God. When she received the word, she confessed it. She said, yes. See, the Bible is a book of confessions of faith. Look at the prophets. It was all faith. Look at Abraham's life of faith. I mean, he's honored in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, as the father of our what? Faith. Abraham. And the prophets echoed that and echoed that. And down through the years, they said, he's coming, 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 he's coming. God said it in the garden. In fact, he called Jesus the seed of the woman in the garden. And he said, there's one coming, devil, and he's going to kick your head. You'll bruise his heel, but he's going to kick your head. You ever had your head kicked before? I know a guy who was milking a cow one time, and the cow just kicked him and just totally knocked him bluey. You think that's bad? When Jesus kicked the devil in the head, it destroyed powers and principalities. The power of the resurrection that was released from the Father in heaven destroyed them all, breathed that life into Jesus, and he rose up above all of it. And then he's called the seed of Abraham. The seed of Abraham. Abraham, the father of our faith. The seed of Abraham. He took on not the nature of angels, but the seed of what? Abraham. Those who were in covenant with God. And it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, the Bible says. Now we, if we are in Christ, then we are heirs according to, and we are the seed of Abraham, Jesus is the seed of Abraham. We are the seed of Abraham. We are one with him. He is one with us. Somebody said, are you saying that you're Jesus? No, but I am saying he lives in me. And I am saying that I am joined to him with one. We are one spirit together. And I know this. The Bible says where I walk, he walks. When I talk, he talks. You got to receive this. Either you receive all of it or you receive none of it. Either he's Lord of all or not Lord at all. Receive his word and just take it all. Just drink it in. Receive your identity in Christ. You know, that's the first thing the devil attacked Adam and Eve. Was their identity. He said, you'll be like God. You'll be just like God. Suggesting that they weren't. They were already just like God. Don't let the devil talk you out. Well, you sinned last week. You sinned this morning. You did this. You said that. He is the accuser of the brethren. God doesn't do that. God releases grace that the blood of Christ bought for us. And it doesn't matter what situation you're in or you're ever in. It doesn't matter what you've done or what you haven't done. It matters that God loved you and gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him. Don't exalt your sin over God's ability to forgive it. Don't exalt your inadequacies. Let's go back to John 3:16, please, Stephen. But whosoever believes in him should not perish. That word perish means to destroy. That's the devil's plan for your life. He comes to steal, kill, and what? Believes in him should not perish, but have ever. That's why he came into the world, to save it, not to condemn it. If you're under any condemnation now, any kind of guilt or condemnation of the past, I want to tell you something. Right now, just like that, you can receive the blood of Jesus, and it's all washed away. All the memory banks of heaven are just washed out, gone. Delete. Gone. Because the blood of Jesus is more powerful. I do have a message here. Look at Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Celebrate this. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is, unto you a child was born, unto you the son was given, unto you. Brian, say he. I am Brian. Say that.
I am Brian.
Unto Brian a child was born, unto Shirley, unto Joyce and Mike, unto all of you, each one of you, a child was born that came from the mouth of God through Gabriel into Mary. She received it and she conceived it in her and gave birth to the Son of God. And there are things, and he is the light of the world. There are things in you that bring light to your situation, light to your future, light to everything that affects you and your family. That lives and abides in you, that light is the seed of Abraham, and it will reproduce after its own kind. The light of God, the power of God, the strength of God, the healing nature and loving nature of God. For unto you, unto us, a child is born, unto us a son is given, and what? The what?
Government
shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jesus is God manifest in the earth. He is just as much God as the Father is. And the beautiful thing is, he's just as human as you and me. I'm not saying he's faulty like us. I'm saying he is spirit, soul, and body just like you. He is human. He tasted of death for every man. And he was made alive in the spirit. Amen. The firstborn from the dead. Praise God. Verse 7. of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts has performed this, or will perform this. This was written 800 years before Jesus. Justice. Much of what happened this election day was a gift. And it was the result of a powerful ministry of the Holy Spirit and a powerful ministry of the angels. Did you know the angels were created to serve you? And 9 times out of 10, they're just waiting for orders. But people say, you know, I hate that person. I do the, you know, I don't want to go there. They're just through the, and you're, all these curses are coming out of your mouth. And you're giving angels, and they just stand here like this, when all of a sudden saying, you know what, Father, here's my situation. I know you know it, but Lord, I give you the right to fix whatever's wrong in me. Boom, the angels go into, they hearken unto the voice of his word. Give voice unto his word. Say, I am who you say I am. I am more than a conqueror. I am not the sick. I am the healed in Jesus' name. I am not broke. I have prosperity working for me. I may not see it, but I believe it's working for me. All of a sudden, angels start going on route. And when it says the Lord of hosts, on the bottom line there, the zeal of the Lord of hosts, that means Lord of armies. Armies of angels are released and dispatched when you say about yourself and others what God says about you and others. You have that power in you because the Son of God has been birthed in your heart. You're born again. And his life is in you. His nature is in you. That old sin nature is gone. Now, you still have a flesh, and you still, we all do. The Apostle Paul had a flesh to deal with. But now we have the authority to deal with it effectively. Got that? Praise God. So much of what happened this election day was the culmination of a supernatural power, a supernatural ministry of angels that the devil had no defense for. Think of that. Praise God. What does Christmas mean to us this year in terms of us who believe, who have been praying for this nation, who have been praying for this government, who have been praying for the economy, who have been praying for our borders to be closed and us to be a sovereign nation again? I mean, look what's happened. We see Germany. We see a terrorist drove into a crowd the other day because the prime minister of that country let in millions unvetted aliens, didn't know who they were. We love to have people come into this country. Yes. But we want to know who you are. Because we have standards in this country of justice. We want to know who you are. And if you're acceptable, we accept you. Praise God. Say, well, that doesn't sound like love. Well, there is a justice side to love that we just talked about in that scripture. Jesus is the love of God manifest in the flesh. And what did it say? Of the increase of his government and peace, there should be no end. Establish it with judgment and justice. There is a justice side of love. It's necessary. Personally, I forget, you have to forgive everybody. Everybody who's hurt you or somebody you know. You do that. But societal ways, as far as society, there has to be a standard of justice. And that is the government that is on his shoulders. But in the last 4 years, we've had a justice system that has been a hammer in the hand of power-hungry people like judges and prosecutors who have turned justice upside down. They've released the prisoners, and they have arrested a Marine who saved the lives of who knows how many people, and the guy that was full of drugs died. And they still can't prove it was a chokehold that did it. So, you know, these are things. The justice system was turned upside down, but that's coming right back. because God's people are in order. I'll tell you something. God had it up to here. And he heard the prayers of the saints, the cries of his people. And to order a system of justice and righteousness, a standard of justice, all that comes through the church. God doesn't do anything apart from the church. Did you know that? All the promises of God in him are yes and amen. According to what? The power that works in us. The church. You know, Jesus is the head of the church. God just doesn't bypass that to do whatever he wants to do. He honors that blood. He honors the head of the church. That scepter pointed to Jesus, and he said, you are head of the church. Over all things to the church. And if the church doesn't pray, if the church doesn't do what it's supposed to do, then his hands are bound. He bound them. Now, there are things that he could, but listen, thank God for Flashpoint.
Amen.
For 4.5 years, they raised the standard, and they challenged the church to get out and vote. They say, well, we don't want to vote. We need to. Well, then deal with the children of the devil who are going to take over. We did that. The children of the devil have been in force, in charge for 4 years. Under the previous administration, from 2016 to 2020, we had world peace. We had prosperity. We had jobs returned to the United States. We had all of these things come that went under 8 years of Obama. That divided this country literally in every facet he could. But God heard us. God answered our prayer, and the judgment and justice and government came back on his shoulders, and he's faithful. Oh, what does Christmas mean to you this year? I'm thankful that we have a future and a hope once again. An honest one, a government we can trust, a government that we can really have a backing. You know, we know we're backed by something now. And it's not something that has just become a hammer. And I am thankful. You know, God wants to get in all facets of our life. Government, politics, acting, the arts, everything. Especially education. We've got to correct that whole system that has been in the hands of the devil for way too long. That's why we started Kairos Patriot Academy. Leah. Thank you. Even if one of those kids gets the light and finds that he's another Billy Graham or another Kenneth Hagin or another Kenneth Copeland or another Oral Roberts or somebody who said, I'm going to do something. Even if one of those kids gets up and does it, praise God, it was worth the whole thing. Amen. The first year we started that, we had 3 children. They said it doesn't make financial sense. I said, I don't care. I'm not stopping it. I'm going down with the ship. When God heard, you know, you got to go down with your boots on. If you're going to go down, pistols blazing, you know. And guess what? All of a sudden the school filled up with kids. Praise God. The day after our election, the stock market got a pulse again. It did. The day after the election, he's not even president yet. The day after the election. That's because, you know why? The entire country knew. They were either standing in lies or they're standing in the truth. What does this Christmas mean to you? I'm celebrating the birth, the rebirth of a nation. And honesty and truth. Praise God. Not only that, the world depends on the United States being strong, just like our families depend on us being strong. Right. You know, your family may treat you real cool. I know ours does. But when something happens, you know who the first call they make? Yeah. We need prayer. Yeah. Yeah. But they'll treat you kind of cool, but hey, they know where to come for prayer, so let's do it. Yeah. You know, don't hold anything against them. They continue to see and see and see and see and see and see and see until they finally realize it takes 15, 20 times sometimes. But they'll come along. All the tumblers are falling into place for the end time. Now, I want to close with this. So they've got a timekeeper here. You know, the 6 days of creation represent 6,000 years of human history. Adam to Abraham is 2,000 years or 2 days. Day with the Lord is 1,000 years. So this is Bible interpretation, and which is standard. It's not out there somewhere. And after each day, God saw it and said it was good. Right? Look at the end of the sixth day. Can we go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 31? And the third day and the sixth day. Now, this is the sixth day. Bum, bum. And God saw everything that he made. All of creation was made. And behold, it was what? Very good. We are at the end of the sixth day right now. The plan for human history is all revealed in Genesis chapter 1. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. We are at the end of the 6,000th year of human history right now. And things are getting very, very good. A word of caution here too. Because when things were very good for Israel, they slid back into idol worship and all of this stuff, false gods and who knows what, depending on how worshipful they were that day and so forth, and they got into bondage, the Philistines would come in and clobber them. In other words, they let another man take their crown. It says in Revelation, don't let any man take your crown. Stay steadfast. Stay with that which is good. What Dwight shared earlier, whatsoever things are true, honest, pure, lovely, of good report, those are the things that we continue to focus on when things are bad and when things are good. Amen. When things are not going so right, when the ship is listing the wrong way and you don't know how, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, of good report, honest and just think on these things. And when you start to say what God says about your situation, you give him something to work with, and the ship comes back to true balance, love, mercy, and justice. Powerful thing. This Christmas is a real celebration for me. I've been praying for our country. I've been praying for our government. I've been praying for our economy. I've been praying for our schools. I've been praying for our borders. I've been praying for our order in the world. I've been praying for the dollar to come back and have a standard. Let's reinstitute the gold standard and do that and give the dollar something that it's backed with that it always was backed with until Nixon canceled it. Let's pray on those things and give Jesus something to work with. And you know what? And when he starts rising up, he's better than gold. He's better than silver. He's better than all of the metal and all of the jewels and everything. Because when he stands up, that presence. See, the world's going to see it. They're going to hear about it, and then they're going to see it. Just like the shepherds, when they were tending their sheep, the angels told them, behold, I bring you good news of glad tidings. For unto you this day is born in the city of David, the Son of God. And then they went to see it. They saw it, and then they heard it, and then they went to see it. And the presence that came from that cave, the presence that came, they sensed it. The same presence that the wise men, the magi that came from Babylon, over into here, and they unloaded their treasures to Jesus. When they were overwhelmed with the presence, a star led them right over. The star was the angel of God. Led them right over to where Jesus was. Tell me there wasn't a presence there? Absolutely. Well, your life filled with Jesus brings that presence to every situation. So don't be afraid to tell your family member Jesus loves you. If you're going through something, we're family. And I've found something that works for me, it'll work for you. I've found something, and that something is a someone. His name is Jesus. And I know it may turn you off, but he changed my life. I know who I was without him. Now I know who I am with him. And it's good. Family is forever, always in our heart. Memories that last a lifetime. Inspiration. Love and laughter. And the why? For the years of memories that we have. Amen. Just under the wire. Praise God. Now, I'm going to ask you a question here. If you have never, you may have had a religious encounter, or maybe you had even communion or something, or somebody did a simsalabim over you or whatever it is. But if you have never received the real Jesus and had your life absolutely changed, I'm going to pray a prayer. You pray it with me. If you want Jesus to be your Savior and your Lord, I invite you to pray this prayer. Everybody pray this together. Say, Heavenly Father, I have sinned. I've been wrong. I've reacted bad. Life hasn't turned out what I thought it would be. But Lord, I come to you now. And I let go of everything that I have held true that may be not true. And I turn my eyes to you. And I ask you, forgive me. Wash me. Cleanse me with the blood. The blood of Christ. Work in me the miracle of God's grace and forgiveness. I receive the everlasting mercy of heaven. In Jesus' name. I confess with my mouth right now that Jesus is my Lord. From this time forward, I will live for you. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, maybe for the first time in your life, I want you to know something. The old you died right now. He died. And you are a new creation in Christ, a new spirit man that has never existed before. Brand new. That's what we're going to renew our mind to and renew our life to. And as much as you read the Word of God, and if you don't have a Bible, let us know. We'll give you a Bible. We have lots of them here. We have easy to read ones. And we have the King James. But we have them all. Amen. Hallelujah. But the idea is to put it right here. And the more you feed on that word, that daily bread, the more his word will grow in you and the truth will make you free. Amen. You're dismissed.